Laurie, as I said, I have a nephew who practically put himself through college on the basis that he bought bitcoins way back and then used them to fund his college. I thought that sounded quite strange at the time, but apparently not.
No, it's a bit of a wild ride, and in some ways it's almost unbelievable, exactly to your point. So Bitcoin was created kind of late 2008, late 2009, and effectively it's a computer protocol. So it is, it's designed to act in a certain way. And basically the best way to think about Bitcoin is that it is digital gold. It was designed to be very like gold, but in a digital format. And what I mean by that is that there's going to be a finite supply of Bitcoin. There's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoin produced. And the last Bitcoin that will be produced, as per the computer program on which it is based upon, will be produced in 2140. So as time goes on, the supply of Bitcoin will decrease, the demand will increase, and therefore we see the price increasing over time. So this time, 12 months ago, for example, the price of Bitcoin was approximately 500 euro. Just checking price this morning, it's 2,500 euro. So your nephew, who actually put himself through college, you could argue that was a really, really good decision that he made to actually cash out his Bitcoin and turn it into real money euro. Or actually, other people are probably saying, wow, we should have held on to it because it would have been worth 10 times more if he'd cashed out today.
I think he still has half it left, actually, to be honest. he does still have some.
And absolutely, and also not taken away from the importance of education either.
Yeah, I mean, the issue that I've always found difficult to try and understand Bitcoin is we know that theoretically money is based on the gold standard. So when you use money in exchange for goods and services, you are using it on the basis that money represents something. It represents gold, which is understood to have an intrinsic value. What is Bitcoin based on that gives it that intrinsic value?
Excellent question. And I have a robust answer to address that in the sense that is it backed by a government? Is it backed by a company? The answer is simply no. It is the price of Bitcoin is based upon the market and the price in which you and I and everybody else in the world are willing to pay for it. So there's a lot of people who are now ultimately speculating on the price of Bitcoin. So they think that it's going to go up, they'll buy more, then perhaps it'll go up further, they'll sell out, then it will dip. And effectively they'll buy in again and repeat the process. So people are now trading Bitcoin on this speculative basis. Another important point is that there is a financial product called an exchange-traded fund or an ETF. So there was basically an application going to the Securities and Exchange Commission, effectively a regulatory body in New York, where a new financial product is going to be created so that institutional investors, big banks, pension funds, can actually buy cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. And when that happens, and it's something that I believe will happen, then that's going to basically result in a whole pile of people buying Bitcoin and the price going up even further.
Now, we know that in the 2008-2009 period, we had a global recession felt certainly in these islands. And it was largely caused, particularly in this country, by an inflated housing market where money that didn't exist was being used to buy things that people couldn't afford. And ultimately, the bottom fell out of the market and a house that was notionally worth a certain amount today was notionally worth only half that amount the following day. And this money that didn't exist disappeared in a puff of smoke. And the feeling was that you had essentially an economy based on sand and based on notional money being traded on currency markets that didn't actually exist. Is there a risk that the same can happen with Bitcoin, that the bottom could fall out of the Bitcoin market and people could find themselves getting severely burned?
I think there's always a risk when making investments. And what this always comes down to is your attitude and appetite to risk. So in terms of an investment portfolio, I think diversification is really, really important. So depending on your appetite to risk, what you can do is the Bitcoin is divisible to a millionth. And I think the minimum value using the most popular basic digital wallet to buy Bitcoin, the minimum value you can actually buy is 20 euro. So if you want to actually buy Bitcoin without investing large sums of money in it, throw 20 euro into it, see what happens, watch it over the course of a month or a couple of months, and see if you're understanding a little bit more as to how it peaks and troughs, who says what, what's determining the price on any given day. And then if you are experiencing gains, then absolutely put in a little more money. But definitely prudence, like any other investment, is essential. And Bitcoin should be treated like that.
And banks are becoming more and more involved. Apparently Bitcoin is now being recognised by some central banks, and that's giving it perhaps a legitimacy and a cachet that it previously didn't have.
And you've absolutely done your homework, and that's correct. So one interesting example, and there are many more, Japan has basically recognised Bitcoin as a currency. So you can go into the equivalent of Smith's toy store and buy your child a gift, effectively, or a toy using Bitcoin. And the way it works is simply you download a digital wallet. There's one called Coinbase from the App Store, and there are many others. And effectively, you then use that app to buy Bitcoin. And then when you want to go buy something, you show your app through the QR code, and then it will simply scan and it will deduct the Bitcoin from your wallet, and it will go into the business owner's wallet. And it's as simple as that. Other governments are also looking at it. The FCA in the UK, Canada, the Netherlands, Hong Kong, Singapore, Russia. The list is becoming actually quite long.
Are we coming to a point where Bitcoin is effectively going to become an alternative currency?
I think we're getting closer to that stage. I think Japan, having a kind of so-called Western world country, first world country, adopted as a currency and accepted as a currency, is a key milestone. And it will be very interesting to see what the next country is that follows suit.
Laurie, it's been fascinating, and certainly the rise of Bitcoin is something that we're going to keep an eye on. As you said, it's been around now for almost 10 years, but perhaps recently it's only in the past year or two that it's really become visible, as it were, to the wider community. It was previously, it's arguable, pretty much limited to people who really knew the computer world and knew the Bitcoin world. It is coming more and more out now into a wider acceptance and a wider knowledge.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think a really good example of that, a colleague of mine who's actually from Donegal, his mother started asking him about, you know, how do I buy Bitcoin? So he has helped her buy a Bitcoin as an investment to see what happens over the course of kind of 6 and 12 months, to see if there is a gain on the value of the currency, effectively. I think it's a really exciting development. Another key thing about Bitcoin is that it is borderless. So it's not based on one country, one jurisdiction. It's anybody, anywhere in the world. So you're seeing, if you want to, and I was in New York, and my credit card wasn't working. So a lady I was with, she actually paid the bill, and I wanted to pay her back. So I said, look, can I pay you back in Bitcoin? It will save on transaction fees and so forth. And that's actually what I did. I then transferred the money that I owed her in Bitcoin, and it was done in seconds. So it's cheaper, it's faster, and is it going to become the world global currency, or one of the first world global currencies?
Interesting question, and a good one to end on. Laurie Keogh, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us on the show this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.